Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, Almighty, and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you didn't notice, we don't have communion today. You know what that means, right? Communion takes, what, 10, 15 minutes? So that means the sermon gets to be 10 or 15 minutes longer, right? No, I'm teasing. All right, so we have Psalm 34. If you have your Bibles out or you're looking at it, there is a note. Right, but we heard the eight verses, but there is a note that gives you context to why this psalm was written. If you want to open the Bibles that are in the pews, you can do that. I can't tell you a page number because I'm going out of a study Bible this morning, so it's a little bit different. But the note gives us that context. It helps us understand why this is being written and who is writing it. So it says, of David. So King David, he's the one that writes this. And it says, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. This gives us a clue to what is going on. Doesn't give us the full context. To get the full context, we'd have to jump back to 1 Samuel chapter 21. In Bible study this morning, we kind of went through everything leading up to this, and then a little bit past it. So, to give you the brief rundown here. All right. So, David had just killed Goliath, the great Philistine. Then David had been commissioned by Saul to be his servant. He ends up being a general. And what happens as David, young boy, he gets praised, right? Because Saul kills thousands and David kills 10,000s. Well, that caused Saul to get angry with David. So in his anger, he decides he's going to kill him. Well, he kind of goes in and out of that. A little bipolar, King Saul is. Not to make fun of bipolar, it's not a funny thing. But in this case, he is bipolar. Why is he bipolar? Spirit of the Lord leaves him. So King Saul wants to kill David, the anointed one, who will become king eventually. And in the midst of all this, David is given Saul's oldest daughter to be his wife. So not only is David the servant of King Saul, it is also his father-in-law that wants to kill him. So while David is fleeing for his life, he comes to a city called Nob. And there is the high priest, Abimelech, and the priest is afraid. He's afraid for a couple of reasons. One, he knows David is general, but has no men with him. Not that it describes anyways. But two, that King Saul is out to kill him. You put those together, the high priest is afraid. But David, being in want, being in need, is hungry. And so he asks for bread to be given to him. It's interesting how this psalm is chosen on this day when we have the Old Testament lesson where Elijah is fleeing from Jezebel, right? It's not the king of Israel that wants him dead. It is his wife that wants him dead. But then, in tandem, we have Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. If you come to me, if you eat what I have to offer you, you will have eternal life. It's an interesting pairing of verses, and then you have this psalm thrown into the mix as well. Often, the use of this psalm would be verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then we would point to the Lord's Supper. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and he is good. But in this verse, we would find the idea of being blessed or giving the blessing. The word for that in Hebrew is hesed, to be giving of a blessing or to be giving of something. And David, in the midst of everything going on in his life, says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, to have faith like that. To praise the Lord regardless of what's going on. What's going on in your life right now? The good, the bad, the ugly. Can you say that you're praising God in each and every one of those circumstances? Is someone after your life? We know in the New Testament it says, right, that the devil is roaring around, or, you know, going around like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. So yes, someone is after your life, and that's the devil. He wants to take you down, he wants to kill you and separate you from God. David's kind of going through that. Saul, going around like a crazy man. The Spirit of the Lord's left him, and he's seeking to kill him, so he is afraid. What fears do you have in your life right now? Think about that for a second. What fears do you have? There's lots of them that can be out there. In those fears, are you praising the Lord? That's a tough lesson. Goes on into the next couple verses. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Boast in the Lord, but yet humble. Think of the world that we live in. Do people boast and be humble about it? Or do they boast to be loud about it? Extravagant about it. If we're going to boast, we might as well go all out. But yet, David's using the boast to then uplift the humility, the being humble. In this, what does it mean to be blessed by God? I think we could kind of agree upon things that we understand what it is to bless God, right? To be in worship, to give him our prayer and our praise and our thanksgiving. And in our prayer, that's, you know, speaking to him all of the good that's going on in our lives, all of the bad that's going on in our lives, and all of the things that are even worse that are going on in our lives. We can agree that that's what it is to bless God. But what does it mean to be blessed by God? I mean, here's King David. Sorry. Scratch out King. He's just David at this moment. Running for his life. All he has is the clothes on him. That's it. He has no weapon. He has no food. And yet he can still say these words. He can still write out these words with faith. I think two ideas when we hear the word blessed by God, two ideas perhaps come to mind. One is the material things of this life. You know, you can look at, go home, look at everything you have. Hopefully you have a roof that works above your heads. You have food in the pantry, vehicles that work, right? We're happy, we're healthy, we're wealthy. God's blessed us. That's kind of the prevailing thought in American Christianity. That's how God blesses you, by giving you stuff. Isn't that counterintuitive to how God blesses us? But yet, the big preachers out there who make a ton of money teach you that God wants you to be happy, healthy, and wealthy. And that's counterintuitive to everything that the scriptures tell us about our lives as Christians. Our lives as Christians, the scriptures declare that we will be persecuted for our faith, that we will be hated by the world, that the devil is roaring around, seeking to devour some of us. Gives us a different perspective then of what it means to be blessed by God. The other side of being blessed by God, the spiritual side. Where does God do his greatest blessing that we would find in terms of the spiritual? when we're at our weakest moment. Right? Isn't it Paul who writes? He has like a thorn in his side. He's dealing with something. And yet he can boldly say that it is in my weakness where Christ is doing the greatest. That's a paraphrase of what he writes. In his weakest moments, that's where Jesus is the biggest. Maybe you found yourself in that situation before, where you felt your world was crumbling around you. And so you went to your knees, and you could feel the power of God working the greatest in your life at that moment. A spiritual blessing was happening. Whether you were a baby, a child, or an adult, and the waters of baptism covered your head, God was blessing you, giving you a spiritual blessing where his Spirit is poured to you, and you're declared that you are his child. God uses simple things to bless. Water to give us a blessing. Even though we're not having communion today, bread and wine, simple things that God gives us spiritual blessing. And why do we do communion? Some churches do it once a year. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, that's the day they do it. Now, we could call the question whether that group are Christians or not. But why do we do it as often as we do it? Jesus' command, right? Do this as often as you eat and drink of it. And why do we do it? What is the blessing in doing it? For the forgiveness of our sins. Not just the forgiveness of our sins, but also the sustaining of our faith. Because it's always a blessing to hear that sins are forgiven. Because what comes with sin? Doubt, frustration, anger, things that we can no longer control, things that maybe we have done or not done, that we wish that we would have done in the past that maybe still haunt us. And the devil likes to haunt us with things. And so he uses those things to prod and poke so that we would not be looking to the spiritual blessings that God gives us, but rather the material things. But here's the axe to grind, so to speak. Does not God not also give us material things in this life? Right? He gives us material things in this life. But why does he give us material things in this life? Two reasons. Two reasons that I can find throughout the whole scriptures of why he gives us material things. One is so that we can turn back and praise him. Some of us in this life are blessed with lots of money. Some of us in this life are blessed with very good health. Some of us in this life are blessed with a very good head on our shoulders. All of that is so we can turn back and praise God. But the second thing, and equally as important, is so that those material blessings that we receive are then given so that others can receive them as well. It's a twofold thing. The prosperity gospel teachers won't tell you that. If you want that car, you just think and you pray and you ask God for it and he'll give it to you. And then you know you have been blessed. No, that's not what it is. If you get cancer, it's not because you haven't had enough faith. Sin still exists in this world and tries to take us down. Like I said at the beginning of the service, my grandmother, who would be turning 90 in October, is dying. And her lungs are filled with carbon dioxide, and she can't get it out. Her lungs are getting encased in fluid, and they no longer will drain it out. It's not going to be for her benefit. And so, is her faith weak because of that? No. Sin still exists in this world. But thanks be to God, whether we are going through trial and tribulation or whether we're going through a good phase in life, that the Lord will bless us. He will strengthen our spirit. The times of when we go through what might seem like hell on earth is so that our faith is strengthened. And sometimes that strengthening of our faith is for our benefit, so that the next thing that happens in life, right? Because if it's not one thing, it's another. So that we are strengthened for that next thing that may happen in life. But also, maybe the Lord will strengthen us so then that those around us will be blessed. The scriptures declare that does God not only give rain and sunshine to the believers? No, he gives rain and sunshine to everyone. And maybe, Lord, we could do it with a little less rain right now, but that's okay. We'll get there. God's primary blessing to give you always is his grace. His grace, his love, his compassion that is dearly for you. And he demonstrates that by giving us Jesus. If you ever saw the movie Bruce Almighty, if you haven't seen it, you need to watch it because it's funny. But in there, a guy named Bruce gets God's powers for a small section of Buffalo, New York, and chooses to answer everybody's prayer with yes. And it caused chaos. God answers our prayers with yes, no, and not right now. And that is okay. Does that so that we will trust in him. We will trust in his promises. We will trust in what he gives us. And again, what he gives us is the most important thing, and that is Jesus. He sustains us in our faith so that whatever trial and tribulation that we may go through or the good parts of life, we can give him our praise. Because in that, we will find that we are truly blessed in this life. And that we can then use that blessing to bless someone else. The primary focus of God blessing us isn't so that we can earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn God's blessing. There's nothing you can do to earn God's favor. I hate that phrase, God's favor. Because it sounds as if like some deserve it and some don't deserve it. We all don't deserve it. That's the problem. But yet he gives it out richly. I mean, if you were to hold out a cup and God would say, I'm going to pour out my blessing to you, you'd be like the coach who just won a big game and you have the Gatorade bucket being dumped over your head, but not just once, but continually dumped over. And that's what he does with his blessing to us, with his grace to us, his love to us. He overfills our cup. Because when we are filled up and overfilled with him, it flows out. Today, tomorrow, this week, this month, you do not know who you're going to come across that might need a prayer, a blessing, something that you have been filled up with. The Spirit will decide. God's Spirit will lead people into your life and decide that this person's here for this moment so that you can bless them or they can bless you. You don't have to worry about looking for those moments. God will provide. He provided David with bread when he needed it. He provided Jesus with what he needed in this earth to do his ministry. He'll provide, most certainly, for what you and I need in this life. Again, it's not earned. It's just given. It's gift. And it's God's grace that is the ultimate gift that we can be thankful for. And it is his grace that we know that we are blessed by him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, blessed are those who hear your word and fear you, for they seek your grace and righteousness. Make us, Heavenly Father, to praise and worship you with joyful hearts because of your word, Jesus, that we might inherit life everlasting, and in Jesus' name, Amen.